Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Welcome to the 25th edition of the Worcester Reports. This is Tony Coppell reporting. I want you to meet a businessman, Orbin Alexander, and I'm with him in his house in Roodeval. He wasn't always a businessman. He started off in a rather different environment, and I'd love you to hear his story of how he came from that situation to what he's doing now. So welcome to CWCP Radio, Orbin. And tell us how your young life was. Tell us how you grew up.
Hi, Tony. Hello to all the listeners. Yes, Tony, you know, I grew up in a very good home where there was a mother, there was a father. Everything that I asked, they will make a way for me to get it. I grew up in an area where there's a lot of poverty, gang violence, all these sorts of bad things. And at a very young age, at the age of 15, I started using cigarettes. Using the cigarettes for me was to be part of a gang, of a bunch of men that were well known in our community. So I didn't want to do anything. I just want to use the cigarettes to be part of this gang. And it didn't stop at cigarettes. After the cigarettes, I used marijuana. After the marijuana, I use mandrax, and after the mandrax, I use tuck. You know, it threw me out. I was, at the end of the day, I was hustling. I was walking from door to door. I was getting addicted into this drug because all I need now is money to feed my addiction. And I can tell you today that doing your first hit, you will never get to that high again after that first hit. You will even use more and more and more and more drugs. And in the end of the day, you will end up in a pit where no one, even your family, they kick you out. They don't have words for you. So here you are in this pit, and all you need a miracle. It's only a miracle that can help you get out of the pit. And that miracle is Jesus Christ. And a few years ago, I met a friend of mine and who was also on drugs. And I saw him the other day, and I can see this change in his life. And I went up to him, I approached him, and I asked him, where can I go for help? And he told me about this ministry, the Changemakers, that work with the men between 18 and 35. And my last words to him was, if there is any cancellations, can you please come and fetch me, because I desperately need to change my life. And you know what? A few weeks after that, he just popped in and he asked me, do you still need the help? And I said, yes, I'm ready to go. And that was 6 years ago. And we went to the rehabilitation center. I went for observations, and I went to the doctor to get the medical form filled in. I come back and I go and do my 5 weeks program at Toevlug, the rehabilitation center. And at that time, I have all the time in the world to think about my life and where I want to go with my life. And I've decided that I'm not going to do this alone, and I'm not going to be able to do it alone. So I need the higher power to help me go through all these challenges and all these things that are in our community. So I finished my 5 weeks program, and I joined the aftercare program, the Changemakers. And at that time, I didn't know Christ. So in this aftercare, I'm surrounded with all these Christian people and all these things that look strange to me at that time is the things that I actually need. So I went with four guys. We went on a camp, and we are there in the Karoo. And all we're doing Bible studies, and we do we just pray together. And the pastor just told me this one day. He just asked me, "Oben, when are you going to give your heart to the Lord?" And I stand up. I say, "Pastor, if it's not going to happen today, it won't. It's not going to happen." So on that moment, I surrender my life to Christ. I was baptized on that same day, and I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And, you know, accepting Christ, but I was still struggling with the cigarettes at that time. And in my quiet time, I asked, Lord, please help me, because this is something that I need to lay down, because I go into this community, I'm here to help other young men getting free from this. So how am I going to motivate another young man if I'm still smoking? And 2 years, I'm now 6 years clean. I'm now 6 years serving the Lord. And I'm now 4 years cigarette free. And I don't have words to tell you tonight that that really it's only the Lord that can do these miracles and wonders in someone's life.
You mentioned change makers. So there's quite a lot of men who came from the same sort of background. Are they all having the kind of experience you're having with change makers?
There's a lot of men in the program, and there's every day there's men coming up to us asking for help, and that are caught up in gangs, and that are caught up in drugs, and they don't know how to break free from it. So they need to come to us that so that we can hear their heartbeats, and so that we can hear if they are willing to make this commitment to themselves. And if they say yes and they commit themselves to it, it's a 6 months program that we work with them in-house. That it's an in-house program that we work with the men in Worcester.
This is obviously a very special ministry here in Worcester, working in Roodeval. Can you tell us a little bit about how it got started, who is the current leadership of Changemakers, and maybe one or two stories of other people?
It started in 2011. Irina van Deventer, she's the founder of Changemakers, and myself, Mia, and Irina, we are on leadership of Changemakers, and then we have our staff, that is the day worker, and that is the two, Reggie's the day worker, and Brandon and Edmund, they are the in-house staff members, because you need day by day observation over these guys, because they come from very, very rough areas. I always tell them that our parents did teach us discipline and to listen, good manners, but due to the things that we have done, the drugs that we've used and all the bad stuff, we sort of lose all those good things that our parents told us. So now they are in the program, now we're teaching them how to bring them back sort of to their original purpose in life, teaching them manners, teaching them to knock on doors if you approach a door, teaching them to ask who is inside or may I come in. It's that small things in life that count.
Now I want to get on to the entrepreneurial aspect here, because one of the things that became very apparent is that what the men needed to replace their addictions was a job a way of making a living, a way of making money. So introduce your particular company that you're operating now and how it came about.
This company is called Boa Boa Screen Printing. Boa Boa was started 2014, 4 years ago. This came from a very good friend of mine, Sean Simpson. He's from Texas. He came with this vision to South Africa, and because he came from the same background in the States, he thought that this would be a good a platform to reach young men that are caught up in gangs and that are struggling with the gang violence and the drugs to get free from it. And Boa Boa was developed to reach young men that are caught up in gangs and in drugs. And we thought that we could teach them life skills, but we actually realized that this is a good platform that we can teach them technical skills and we can teach them business skills. Currently, I'm the manager of Boa Boa. I've got two guys at the moment that are working under Boa Boa. Boa Boa was created out of change makers because we realized that the men that come through the program, they knock on people's doors for work, and some of the doors just close due to their background. And what we have done, we started the screen printing to teach them a skill so that they can go out and make a living and earn something. So if they one day have families, they can go and put something on the table for them to be sustainable men and to be a healthy worker and father of his family.
Last week, I interviewed a number of people who are now based in Klein Plassey in the Arts Village, and I saw Boa Boa stall, but you weren't there at the time, or I would have talked to you then. So how did this come about, that you moved to Klein Plassey?
Yeah, the space actually was too tight for us at the kibbutz, so we need to move out, and we need to get ourselves a bigger place. So someone told us about Klein Plassey, and we thought, why not go and just see how we go about. And we talked to the people, and we are now renting at Klein Plassey. We are renting a 3x9 square meter. This is where our business is running from now at the moment. And if people in the surrounding areas and in Worcester can come behind Boa Boa by simply just paying attention and simply just buying the products, and that will definitely be something good.
So why should they come and buy the products from Boa Boa? What is special about your screen printing?
It's a high quality product. It's good work. Where we come from, to me, that's the high point of it. Where we come from, we used to be gangsters. We used to be drug addicts. But now we are young businessmen trying to make something with our lives. And that's why I'm asking to you listeners, if you can just come behind and just pop in into Klein Plassey and see the amazing work that the Lord is doing in our lives.
Are we talking mainly T-shirts, or are there other things that you're using screen printing for?
We do T-shirts, we do hoodies. What we do now, we have caps available. Yeah, but if you come and you talk to us and we can see how we can accommodate and we can help you.
You mentioned a few minutes ago Sean, who brought this idea here from Texas. Is he by any chance the same Sean that is on Disciple the Streets with Marco?
Yes, that's the Sean. He's the same guy. He's still the founder of Boa Boa, so he's very much part of Boa Boa. And praise God for his obedience and listening to the Lord, for coming all the way from Texas, Houston, and come and teach us here in Roddeval, Worcester, screen printing skills.
Well, that was interesting. I need to find him and interview him as well, because I keep on hearing about this guy, Sean.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's obviously a very special person. So now we've heard your story. How do you see things working out in the future? Look ahead 5 years. How would you like Boa to look like then in 5 years' time?
Tony, I see Boa in a couple of years, having our own shop where we actually sell the products that we are making. But we need young men to come. Those that need help, we are there to help you. So if you have any problem, you can come and just talk to us and see.
You're saying that the thing that's perhaps the challenge at the moment is you need more workers to turn out the screen printing, yes?
Yes. I definitely need more workers, but not everyone is a screen printer. I need someone behind the computer. I need someone to run the office. I need someone to do the printing. I need someone to take the stock. I need someone to print the T-shirts. But I can definitely give you a job if you are able and willing to join us and to go through the program and get sober and get your life together and in order and see that the Lord really has a purpose for you.
I suspect, Aubin, that this is bringing you a lot of joy in your heart. But is it also fun? Are you having fun running this business?
Tony, yes, it's nice doing what I'm doing. And yeah, sometimes I ask myself the question, am I at the right place? But I know this is what the Lord told me 4 years ago. The Lord, after Sean have left the country, the Lord told me clearly that I must take the keys of this building and open this door and work with whatever was told me to do, work with it. And it's 4 years ago and I'm still standing. I'm still running this business slowly, but we are getting there.
It's so good to hear a success story. Now tell me a little bit about your wife and your son.
Yes, I'm a husband for 4 years now, and I actually have three children. My eldest is 20 years old. The eldest is a girl. Second one is 13 years old. And then I have the young one. He's the busiest of them all. His name is Byron, and he's 6 years old. And yeah, he's quite a handful, Tony. He's really quite a handful.
You know, something that is so important here you didn't mention is a good family background to bring up the children. And parenting is the thing that is so missing in so many of our families in the townships here. And so your life, not only are you a business person, but you're building a family and you're showing your children life skills. And I'm quite sure you're telling them about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Yes, yes, no, I must definitely do that. And it's good to be a father. It's good to be a leader. It's challenging, but at the end of the day, it's something good to do. All you must do, you must just keep praying and ask the Lord for strength and go on.
I want to thank Aubin Alexander very, very much. He doesn't know this, but his story ties in so well with the stories of other people that I've interviewed. And if you've been listening to our programs week after week after week, you will know that. And after this, I'm going to tell Aubin about some of those things. So, Aubin, thank you so much. Thank you for your hospitality, letting me come here tonight. And I can't wait to actually hear this going out on Thursday.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure, man.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God.
Growing in God despite disappointment. Pause, ponder, and praise. My name is Lorianne, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During our last broadcast, we discovered that our faith can grow very well in the desert. This is when we learn to let God refine us from the fear that holds us back, like Hannah Hernard's character called Much Afraid in her book Hinds Feet and High Places. The desert can transform the image we have of ourselves as well as our image of God. These false images we stored in our hearts are shattered in the desert. Once they are destroyed, we can then see and discover what is real about God. We are transformed as we journey on our four unique desert gifts: spiritual transformation, psychological change, a new role, and a new future. That transformation can take further seasons in the desert for pause and reflection. I shared about this in an earlier broadcast about persevering, what I called seasons of the pause button. Yet even in seasons when we are gladly busy and moving along, we have disappointments. Some of those are small and some are deep. In the midst of the waiting, or the pause as I like to call it, is an opportunity to assess and remember God's faithfulness. Irish-based leader Seprese Setole has endured much persecution and trauma in his life, yet he is always filled with joy. Every day can be a good day. His attitude towards pausing is that waiting on God is worship. I recently read Philip Yancey's book Disappointment with God. He deals with our human view of personal disappointment and suffering, and then God's view through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He shares that three questions surface in human suffering. These are, where is God? Why is God silent? And why is life unfair? Sometimes it seems that God is absent in the midst of pain and darkness. This especially is shown in the middle chapters of the book of Job, although the first chapter and the last chapters reveal that God has been there all along. The story had a good ending. The Old Testament showed God the Father as so holy that he was nearly unapproachable in the temple, yet he showed himself in a burning bush and other miracles. While he is invisible, he made himself clearly known. However, most of the people cowered in fear, so most did not seek him out, which was his deepest desire. His love was rejected, except for the prophets and David, who was known as a man after God's own heart. When the Israelites turned away in sin and worshipped idols, it broke God's heart like a spurned lover. It was the Israelites' way, and later the Pharisees' way, to demand signs and miracles. And yet their hearts did not come close to the God of miracles. God doesn't like being put to the test. Listen to Mark chapter 8. Even Jesus' response towards the demand of a sign showed his disappointment. When he heard the Pharisees' request, he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why do these people keep demanding a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, I will not give this generation any such sign." So he got back into the boat and left them, and he crossed to the other side of the lake. Miracles may catch our attention, but it is love that changes hearts. Then Jesus came to earth as a human being. He was neither silent nor invisible. He was approachable. He still is. Then he showed his love when he died for us. He was resurrected and sent the Holy Spirit to live inside us so that we could experience that love all the time. So if we have faith in Jesus Christ, God never leaves us. He is always Emmanuel, God with us, through the Holy Spirit. So God is not absent, nor is he silent, although there are times that he seems like he is. Sometimes it's when we're asking the why question or shouting at God, "Life isn't fair. Life isn't fair." We are not immune from suffering, and we see unfairness and suffering all around us. God is working out an answer to this pain through us. Sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves and forget that we can make a difference. We can do something, as Matthew West sings in his song, Do Something. Why questions are often difficult since we are steeped in self-pity. Quite often, we struggle most not only from the pain of difficult times, but from our own attitude of self-pity. This attitude is reflected by the sayings, "Poor little old me," "Pity me," "What about me?" And one that I learned in an inner healing school that I took in the 1990s, it was Plom's disease, P-L-O-M-S disease, poor little old me syndrome. This outlook doubles or triples the pain you're in and focuses either just on you or on your circumstances. Sometimes cartoonists draw someone like this under a perpetual rain cloud. They can't see the sunshine that's just beyond the cloud, nor the rainbow that accompanies the sunshine after the rain. This attitude shows up as Eeyore, the depressed donkey, that is a friend of the Winnie the Pooh character. He's always saying, "Oh, well." While there is a place for not rushing the process of genuine grief, self-pity can keep you stuck for weeks, months, and even years. Leanne Payne calls this descending into the hell of self, which essentially makes you your own worst enemy. I know this personally since I often fell into this mode of thought. My Australian friend Jan went with me to experience a Leanne Payne pastoral care ministry school in Wheaton. I received deep emotional healing for past abuse and the beginning of healing for crushed will issues, yet one part of my healing was to lift off a cloak of shame and self-pity. Even though I had a larger degree of freedom, I had to choose to walk as a free person. We develop habits and coping skills that are based on lies that we believe about ourselves, our environment, and God. When we deal with these and also form healthier habits, we maintain our freedom. Pause. So we pause and reflect. The Russian Christians have a wonderful attitude of pausing in a retreat. It's not a retreat that goes backwards, but it's a retreat to spend time with God. They call this cabin in the woods a pustinia, where they seek God in silence and solitude. Jesus also often went to solitary places to pray and spend time with the Father. We need to do this as well. This is when we can come to Jesus with our broken hearts and disappointments. He still is with us, and He cares. Don't harbor it in your heart and get bitter. Stop going around in circles in the desert of disappointment. I had a friend who did this. Let's say his name is Jack. Jack became bitter and continually railed against God because he wanted a wife. He fell in love with another friend of mine who was in love with two men, Jack and Ted. She finally decided for Ted rather than Jack. I don't think Jack ever got over it. And so Jack stayed in his disappointment and did not move on. Until just recently, he made an announcement on Facebook that he just got married, but he gave no details. At least I hope he's happy. Ponder. Once we stop and pause, look up and ponder. Look all around you. Are you still under that rain cloud? Or are you ready for a second touch from God? Jesus is with us. Our Afrikaans pastor Johan shared about God's second touch through the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. Let's take a look at that chapter. Jesus had encountered blind men several times in his ministry. One of the times he met blind men is written about in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. It was the time when Jesus made a mud poultice to put on the blind man's eyes. The man had to be prayed for more than once. The first touch restored the man's sight, but he could only see in a really blurry way. People looked to him like trees. This showed that even Jesus sometimes had to give a second touch for healing prayer. Healing has come, but not in its fullness. Johann shared that we should be content that God has touched us in the past, but not be satisfied with mediocrity. So let's turn the disappointment around. Yes, there is a need. Just think. Jesus didn't want that man to be stuck in limbo. And in his case, the second touch came right away and Jesus prayed again. Often that completion of healing comes later on. Johann told us prophetically that we may be satisfied with a little touch, but actually, God isn't satisfied. He has a second touch coming our way. Since He's the one who gave us saving faith, He is the one who will complete us in all ways. God did not create us to have half of our destinies. So we pause, ponder, and consider all our little blessings. While you are counting them, He just may surprise you with what you need. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Colossians 3, verse 15, to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. May you fill us with that peace, Lord, as we ponder you. Praise. Once we know that we can trust God, we can take time and praise Him. We thank Him to take the focus off of ourselves. We were never in control anyway. It was always just an illusion. It can be difficult to be thankful, but if you make a habit of it, your eyes will open at all the little blessings in your life. Here's an example of what praise and thanksgiving can do in Scripture. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas were on a mission trip in Philippi, Greece. Paul got annoyed by a girl who was demonized because the spirit drew attention to itself. After the girl was delivered, her owners were angry that the girl could no longer tell fortunes. This had an effect on their finances. So they reported them to the authorities with lies, and they were publicly beaten and thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. Doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed that the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here." Did you notice what Paul and Silas did in the midst of being in the prison? They were singing worship songs. They were praising God in the midst of their trial. I've heard other mission stories that are similar, although deliverance didn't always happen that fast. Psalming. Finally, there is another step in pausing, pondering, and praising. It's psalming. There are 150 psalms right in the middle of the Bible. King David was one of the psalm writers. He had a pattern of complaining to God of difficult circumstances, then he would ask God what he was going to do about it, and then poured out his heart in distress. But always at the end, he chose to trust God. Either he asked for vindication due to God being just, or he just chose to trust God in that situation. In Psalm 4, he declared that God would keep him safe so that he could sleep. In Psalm 5, he declared that God was a shield of protecting love. Psalm 6 declares that God has heard David's prayer. Psalm 7 ends in thanks, and 8 ends with praise. Psalm 13 ends with trust, and David sang, "But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me." And so, the pattern of complaint, praise, and trust continues. My seminary professor, David, taught me a course called Foundations of Christian Spirituality. One of the topics he shared about was about writing your own psalm in difficult times. It allows one to pour out your grief and sorrow and then offer it back to the Lord. That emotion could also show more than sorrow. There are more than one or two psalms, for example, Psalm 69, that are written in anger, almost something akin to road rage. Does God condone such things? Absolutely not. But he does understand anger, and you can bring whatever is in your heart to him. Together with him, he can give you peace as you work through your feelings. It could be then that you get your second touch. So remember to pause. Look up to God, past your disappointments. He is not silent. He is with us. Then ponder. You are not forgotten. You are in the midst of a process where he is making you beautiful. And psalm, like David, pour out your heart to him in your own poem, and then turn it around as a declaration of trust or thanks. You'll find that you'll grow in the process. You might even write a song through the experience. Lord, thank you that you never leave us. I ask you to help us pause and look up to you, no matter our disappointment. A delay is not a no. Help us ponder all the wonder you've created around us. There is suffering, but there is also beauty and joy. Help us praise and be thankful for each thing that you've given us. And help us to psalm to remember your loving kindness, to help us turn our perspective from the pit to the plain to the mountaintop. You never leave us. Fill my friends with your peace, in Jesus' name. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Couples Western Cape Radio.
I will give.
the Keith Duke Band with Come Be With Me. Let's have some music. I want to start with Aretha Franklin, who sadly died today at 76. What a magnificent lifetime of musical achievement. How many people were influenced by her singing, her style, and everything about her leadership in the world of gospel singing, for a start. But she was a crossover artist, and I'm going to play a secular song, Through the Storm, from the album of the same name, before we get on to some other favorites of mine. I probably won't be talking again on this show, so Laurie-Anne and I wish you a wonderful week coming up before the next edition of the Worcester Reports here on CWCP, and God bless you all.
a movie and the whole world is viewing it. And the popcorn is dreams torn, but we're always chewing it. The set design is by God, but the costumes by the devil. And the screenplay is adapted from a book that's embezzled. This is where I grew up, this is where I grew proud. This is where neighbors never say music is too loud. This is where the streets have no name, but they have history. This is loss is victory. Oh, my name, it ain't nothing. My age, it means less. The country I come from could be like the rest. I was taught and brought up there, lost to above. And the land that I young, I grew, I could tie my shoe. I was blind, but I knew that I would always see blue. Blue seas that see through, on the bottom I meet you. And when we come up for a breath, would you mind if I kiss you? Childhood came up for the kiss, but its lips was painted with mist. And the sunny skies came and I missed it. Vanished and windswept. Landed and we slept in the arms of convenience. Blanket obedience. Now Somali American war had its day, and the Civil War too was soon laid away, and the names of our warlords I was made to memorize. With guns in a on a side. I had an undying wish to keep from dying. I had an untimely hitch keep me from climbing. But I climbed the hitch itself and I tried flying. I had an uprising in my soul. The left was fighting the right, and the right was fighting the light, and the light was blind in the night, and the night woke up in tears. When my fingers went to wipe them, they became a poem, but to write them, they would have to speak tears in another language that would take years. Now as I'm leaving, I'm weary as hell. The confusion I'm feeling, ain't no tongue can tell. The words fill my head and fall to the floor. If God's on your side, then would you ever need more?
Williams and Zinger kill poor Addie Carroll. With Cain they twirl round his time.
Philosophizes. notes are on the level, and the strings in the book ain't pulled and persuaded, and even the nobles get properly handled. Once that the cops have chased after and caught them, and the ladder of law has no top and no bottom. Stare at the person killed for no reason. We just happen to be feeling that way without warning. And he spoke through his cloak, most deep and distinguished, and handed out strongly penalty and repentance. Williams and Zinger with the 6 month sentence.
Rare, rare, fine. troubled cure for a troubled mind. Time has told me not to ask for more, for someday